Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Best highlight of my career, best hockey experience of my life. My whole time in Denver was just magic. I made so many good friends, and that experience will be my memory forever. It was the coolest, most fun part of hockey I've had.
That's brand new Rochester American Nicholas Aube-Kubel. Cleared waivers from the Sabres, joins the Amerks and makes his Rochester debut tonight at Blue Cross Arena as the Amerks host Utica. We welcome in Andrew Mossbrooks. He'll be on the call with the Hall of Famer Don Stevens later tonight. Mossbrooks, great having you on with us, buddy. And we want to talk about tonight's matchup. We want to talk about the addition of Aube-Kubel. But, man, yesterday we spent time talking to Mike Leone. We went back and we revisited your call of Saturday night in Hartford and the end of that second period. Walk us through what was going on as you did a great job of painting a picture in the mind's eye of the pandemonium that went down at the end of that period.
Yeah, well, I mean, first, Gene and Mike, it's great to talk to you guys as always. I think when it came to that game, you know, it's funny. Two teams that don't see each other a lot, but if you rewind to November, their prior meeting, there was an incident where defenseman Ben Harper from Hartford had essentially elbowed Felix Sandstrom in the goalie mask, and he ended up missing a couple of games as a result of that. And then Ben Harper was not in the lineup for Hartford this past Saturday, but he had a sense that there was going to be some carryover. Hockey players have a short-term memory when they need to, but they don't forget the things they don't want to. And I think the Amherst definitely wanted to try and exact some form of payback. That being said, I mean, Hartford initiated it. Alex Belzile is their leading scorer. He was at the net front. The horn sounds, and I mean, about two whole seconds later, which, you know, doesn't sound like a lot in real time, but it is. He takes the puck and shoots it in the net. It's a cardinal sin in hockey. You're going to pay a price. And I don't think anybody expected the price to be 122 penalty minutes spread across both teams, but it got kind of wild. And, you know, that building, XL Center in Connecticut, I mean, it hosted the Hartford Whalers in the NHL in a time where, you know, old-time hockey was alive and well, if you will, and we got to see that resurrected for a night on Saturday.
Was it a shot? Describe it, because was Sandstrom, like, already away from his crease? I draw the analogy, like, hey, in baseball, if you're on the mound and you're going to throw at somebody's head, it's going to be on one way or another. And in hockey, what you're describing here, you're doing that, you're kind of asking for it, are you not?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So when you're asking for, like, the description of it, I mean, you know, Hartford has it in the attacking zone. Sandstrom, I think, at this, I want to say the puck is behind the net. And mind you, I'm not obviously looking at it right this moment, but I'm pretty sure the puck is behind the net when the time runs out in the second period. And so Sandstrom is still in his net, like, 2 seconds after. I mean, this is fresh. And I think the puck got, you know, pushed in front of the paint, and Belzile just whacked it in the net. And again, this was, I mean, it was clearly past the end of the period. And then, you know, the other thing I should mention is that he and Sandstrom sort of collide with one another in a shoving match. And in that shoving match, Sandstrom ends up getting his helmet dislodged. So that didn't help things either. And he's starting to get a little frustrated, as one can imagine. And then, yeah, you know, there was, I'm trying to think of who was at the front of the net. I want to say Jagger Joshua was there for us. Sevalod Komarov was there, and then that, all of a sudden, everybody started fighting but spreading out to do it. So Komarov took his man into the corner. Slaggert was with his guy around the mid-slot area. Jagger Joshua and his guy got drug out to center ice. Then there was a fight on the far corner. I mean, it was, as you said, pandemonium, chaos. Call it whatever word you want to, but it was definitely a throwback game.
Well, we had Coach on with us in late November, and Frank, one of our listeners, challenged us. Hey, ask the coach why this Amherst team allows physical teams like Laval and Hershey to push them around game after game. It feels like it might be a coincidence, but it feels like from that moment, this Amherst team has kind of altered their identity slightly. Yes, they can play that game where you need them to score, and they're going to be finesse and they're going to be fast, but they can also rough some people up and play the physical style that I think you need to be able to play in the AHL if you want to ultimately win the cup.
I think it's not just the AHL, to be honest with you guys. I think it's any league. And one thing Leo's done a good job of is he'll cross-reference to, you know, a team as recent as the Florida Panthers last summer winning a Stanley Cup. You can look at the Amherst stats, and they're a highly potent offensive team. They don't give up a lot defensively. They've got a great structure in their D zone. But you know, Leo is not concerned about having a 40 goal scorer on his team. He's not concerned about, you know, I mean, yes, we have three all-stars going to Coachella Valley with the addition of Brett Murray yesterday, but I mean, he doesn't want that star studded, just lineup that can score you to death, because those teams are often the teams that fall when the playoffs come. And I do think we've seen situations where the Amherst, and honestly, I think it even happened a couple of weeks ago in Syracuse, where their hands get tied against a team that wants to be physically engaging and imposing and wants to play that more gritty style. I think, you know, if we're just calling it for what it is, that was probably the biggest difference last year in the series against Syracuse, that the Crunch ended up winning in that opening round of the playoffs. I don't think the Crunch were the more talented team on paper, but they were willing to go to the areas that maybe Rochester didn't want to as much. And you have seen that switch turn here. This team knows that if they need to be combative and they need to win a game 2-1, but in the process, you know, throw 50, 60 hits throughout the contest, they're going to do that, because it's not just the American League, it's the National Hockey League, it's ECHL, it's hockey in general. The teams at the end, the team at the end that has a championship is often the team that was able to absorb most of the black and blues and the bruises and also get them out.
Yeah, we're talking to our guy, Andrew Mossbrooks. He'll be on the call tonight with Don Stevens, Amherst and Utica. Andrew, this is going back a few years, but just to draw the analogy, when the Sabres were getting the postseason, you had Ryan Miller in net, and I remember a game in Boston where, oh gosh, who was it for the Bruins? It was their tough guy. It'll come to me later. He went to Edmonton later. Runs over Ryan Miller. There's no response. Okay, now you look. I'm bringing that up because, well, you brought up Harper and how this was remembered, running Sandstrom, and it was a play that, looking back in November, I think not everybody kind of realized. It was kind of away from the play, and then you kind of, it was one of those like, wait a second, we see these guys, we're going to need a response. What do you think about the decision? And mind you, Felix Sandstrom has been playing pretty well, but for Leone to put Sandstrom out there Saturday night, I just kind of loved that and said, hey, gentlemen, here we are, and we're ready for this next round.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm trying to think. I don't know that Leo's mindset was necessarily, I'm going to put Sandstrom out here because he played this team and this thing happened, you know, at this point two and a half months ago. But I do think that the players in front of him, you know, they remember. I was talking with Brett Murray earlier this morning, and he cited it when I asked him to kind of recant Saturday. You know, that was the first thing he mentioned, is he said, you know, one of their guys hit Sandy back in November, and, you know, we remembered that. I don't know that the goaltending decision really mattered in that one, to be honest with you, Danger. But I do think that, you know, probably Sandstrom himself had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. He got the win in that game in November, but he didn't finish the game because he had to leave early with the injury. And obviously, yeah, he's, as you mentioned, had a stellar season that was now on a career high 5-game win streak after that 26 save victory Saturday in Hartford. And I think he wants to keep rolling, and I think for the Amherst, you know, it was their final meeting against the Wolfpack, at least in the the regular season, although I don't think Hartford's in a very envious spot right now when it comes to their playoff aspirations. But yeah, I think for Rochester, it's just, hey, you know, we took care of business. We had to get our hands dirty. But, you know, we closed that chapter and opened a new one tonight against Utica.
Milan Lucic, by the way, that was the Bruin that I couldn't think of, like, right there. That was a play that, and I remember thinking, boy, the Sabres aren't responding. The Amherst certainly responding. And, oh, you get Utica. You heard it in the soundbite there. Utica was kind of, we were all pointing and laughing at them at the beginning of the season, not able to win. But it's a long season, Andrew, a little different team that the Amherst are playing here tonight.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things, and I asked Leo about it this morning, is I think Utica's made some changes defensively, and it actually starts from their neutral zone down. So they make it harder to enter the attacking end. They really clog up the middle of the ice, and then if you are able to get past that, they're just so aggressive on the forecheck that they handcuff a lot of the creative talent that, you know, the other team's offenses have had. You know, Nico Dawes is their goaltender tonight. Isaac Poulter, who's their number one, has been up in New Jersey. Brian Hallinan, who's their leading scorer, is also up in the NHL with the Devils. So for a team that's missing, you know, truthfully, two of, I would argue, their biggest players on the team, maybe two of their top three, top four players, they're doing really well by just playing team defense. I think, you know, I mentioned Hartford and their playoff, you know, aspirations. I mean, Utica, that's still a heck of a hill to climb for them. But the thing with this league is, and this is where, you know, we talk, I was making comparisons to AHL versus NHL. Here's where the leagues vastly differ, is in this league, you are playing teams in your division so much. And the opportunity to take advantage of, you know, what we would call those 4-point swings, right? If Utica gets a win tonight, like, they're 20 points back of the Amherst. In no world in the NHL is a team 20 points out on the cusp of February, often making the playoffs. But here, you know, they win tonight, they win in regulation. Okay, now you're 18 back. And more importantly for them, now you're getting closer to single digits back of the first team outside the playoffs. I don't think Utica has any shot of winning the North Division. And while I think their playoff odds are long, they play in a league and in a division where, you know, you go on a 4 or 5 game win streak like they recently had, that those standings start to look really different. So this team's got games in hand on four of the other six teams in the division. They've got half a season left to play. I don't think this team's giving up, and their recent success, you look at the last 10 games, 7 wins, you look at the last 8, they've won 6. That recent success would indicate they're probably not done trying to fight, and the Amherst are going to have a desperate hockey club to face them tonight.
Nicholas Aubé-Kubel makes his debut for the Rochester Americans tonight at Blue Cross Arena. Just after 7 o'clock, we'll have Puck Drop for you here on The Fan Rochester. We're joined by Andrew Mossbrooks. We'll be on the call with the Hall of Famer Don Stevens on Aubé-Kubel. I mean, he's released by the Sabres because he wasn't having a very good season. So what player are the Amherst getting here into their lineup in Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, who has that experience, as we heard at the beginning of our conversation, you know, Andrew, with the Colorado Avalanche and a Stanley Cup in his possession?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of said it right there, right? They're getting a Stanley Cup champion, and the Amherst don't have that on their roster. At least they didn't until now. So, you know, you're getting a Stanley Cup winner. You're getting a guy who has played professionally for what is now his 9th season, 300-plus games in the NHL. And, of course, again, that run 3 years ago with the Avs in 2022. But you're getting a hungry player. Like, talking with Aubé-Kubel this morning, I mean, let's call it for what it is, and I mean this in the best of ways. He doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be in the AHL. He wants to be playing in the National Hockey League, where he's spent the bulk of his career. But he also has the right mindset of understanding that while I'm here, I can make the most of it to make sure that I earn that opportunity again. And we've seen this happen before. The Sabres did it last year with Jacob Bryson when he was in Rochester, and he found his way back to the NHL. So I think with the right mindset, Aubé-Kubel can be a big contributor. Obviously, hey, the future is in a crystal ball somewhere that none of us have been able to uncover. I don't know if he's going to be here for a week, a month, the rest of the season, but, you know, he's had a lot of success in the AHL. It sounds like, based on what Leone was saying this morning, you're probably only going to see him in 5-on-5 situations tonight. I don't think Kubel is going to find his way onto the power play or on the PK. That could change perhaps as the game goes on. But I think the Amherst will have an effective player who can chip in offensively. He's got a nice frame to him as well, 6 foot, just over 200 pounds. He's not afraid to be physical. You know, his breakout year in the AHL, which was forever ago, but this is what kept him up in the National League, was in the Lehigh Valley Phantoms organization, 17-18. He had an 18-goal season. He had almost 90 penalty minutes, too. So he's going to probably present more of that Swiss Army knife mentality where he can chip in offensively, he can be aggressive on the forecheck, he can get gritty if they need him to. I think the Amherst will see Obey Kubel as a very strong complement to their lineup tonight.
So Friday night, Syracuse coming in as well. And here in the sports bar, Andrew, we love some hot uniform talk. Can I get a review on the Rock the Riverway sweaters the Amherst will be donning here?
Yeah, I think, well, first off, I mean, I just think collectively our specialty jerseys have been awesome. The first word I was going to say, I'm not allowed to say on air, so I had to stop myself. I love our jersey designs this year. Our graphic designer, Nick Prinzing, does a remarkable job with just making so many concepts come to life. You know, primary white jerseys, that's what the Rock the Riverways are going to be. I love the tie-in and the connection to the city. Last year, and the other thing too is, I mean, last year we had something similar to this with the lilacs and kind of that off gray. Sort of gave me Washington Nationals vibes, and you guys know I'm a baseball guy, so that's where my reference comes in. But these are awesome. It's just another specialty jersey, one of many, I believe seven that we're going to be wearing throughout the season. And so, yeah, I think it'll be another great night for the funds as well, because we're going to be benefiting the American Diabetes Association Campus Fire. With proceeds from our auction on Dash, which is live now, by the way. Overall, great cause, cool sweaters, and hopefully a great win to close out January.
Yeah, don't sleep on the Salute to Service sweaters from earlier this year. Those were mint. They were unbelievable.
Yeah.
So nice, and they do a great job. You're right. Friday, we'll look for that at Blue Cross Arena with the Amherst hosting the Syracuse Crunch, joined by Andrew Mossbrooks. You'll hear him tonight on the call just after 7 o'clock with Don Stevens as the Rochester Americans are home against Utica. 7:05 puck drop, Andrew.
And Andrew, remember, they grease the poles there in Philadelphia. If you end up winning, you can't go back. But congratulations to your Eagles and everything else in Philadelphia.
Hey, man, right now you hope that we're spoiled, but obviously you've got to overcome Taylor Swift. So that's it's a hell of a battle for them. They've fallen on the short end, as have the Bills before. So hopefully some different fortune here. And then if we can get a Super Bowl, we can start moving forward to spring training and getting ready to chase a World Series.
Good time to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan, too, with the rest of the country wanting to see Kansas City lose.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's an Eagles fan for the next couple of weeks. Andrew, great catching up with you, bud. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you both, guys.
You got it. Andrew Mossbrooks. You'll hear him tonight in the booth with Don Stevens as the Amherst hosts the Comets just after 7 o'clock here on The Fan Rochester.
Yeah, it's see how this team kind of, after that big emotional win. And look, Hartford's not really that good. You look at the standings. They're probably not a playoff team at this point. But if a team fires the puck at you that way, not look the other way.
Yeah, the answer was great. It was what you wanted to see from the team. And hearing Mike Leone say yesterday when we were talking to him that, you know, it was a fun bus ride home. I'm like, yeah, I bet it was. That's how locker rooms are forged. That's the kind of experience and the kind of event that draws everybody in together, draws in a closeness. Looking forward to seeing what Abe Kubel has left in the tank, see what he does for the Amherst tonight as well. Again, just after 7 o'clock for that call here on your proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey, The Fan Rochester. We're going to take a break. The Bills made a couple of moves we can get to. We'll get to happy hour here in just a couple few as well. We have time for your calls if you want to join us. 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.